makes you beautiful.
That's so funny. Ben was telling his girlfriend yesterday that if she's coming to Sexpo, she's going to dress conservatively.
Damn right.
You're not messing around with that, huh?
That looks, Sexpo in place is a little bit dark and seedy. And I'm not saying in a dirty way or bad lighting. Some people are just a bit rough that go there. And Saturday nights and we're going, that's primetime smut.
So he tells his girlfriend, you are not to dress anything too revealing. You're not to wear anything too sexy when you go to Sexpo on Saturday, all right? That's what
Did
Ben
you
tells
you. See Ben's girlfriend yesterday.
Gorgeous, huh?
What a hot number.
You've never seen her before.
What a hot number, hey?
Did you refer to her as a hot number, Damon? She has a name.
Daniela, hey?
Yes, hold on.
Hey, Craig. Craig Wilkinson is here. Let's give him a big welcome. This is a good friend of mine, a guy who's doing tremendous work. And I don't mean that in some patronizing way. You really are doing the most important work. It's so, we're screwed up. Men, we're in such trouble. And we don't even want to acknowledge it half the time. But Craig has got a very positive take on all of this. He's not here to criticize people. He's here to help us build the next generation of men. And the only way to do that is to start addressing our role as fathers. If you are a father or you're not, this might be really informative to you, as will Craig's book, which is called Dad. And it's still available at good bookstores, right?
Yeah.
You've still got it. There it is. I think I've got a copy. You gave me one. It's a very good book. All right, so Craig, you're the father of two yourself. And you've been doing work for years now in connection with this. I still want to figure out, because I can't remember the story of how you got involved in it. First of all, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And great to be here.
Is Father a Nation going well?
Father a Nation's going well. Yeah, indeed.
Are we making any progress in this country? Because we've got a long way to go.
Well, I was running a seminar the other day, and one of the female members of the audience, I said, it's called Real Man, Real Dad. And she said, Craig, there are no more real men in South Africa. I said, that's a bit extreme. But that's coming. The sentiments that are coming from a lot of ladies.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know a lot of women who don't want to get married and don't want to have children because they don't believe that there's a man out there who can actually be a good father.
It's becoming more and more prolific. Mm.
Well, where do we start with this thing? How did you start? What did you get involved in?
Well, I mean, look, my journey as a single dad just made me realize how lacking fathers are, because a lot of my kids' friends had real daddy issues, you know, to use a cliche. Right. And then we were doing a lot of work in townships and with economic development. And we began to realize that we were just scratching the surface. You know, their poverty obviously is a massive, massive issue, but the social decline and just the degradation is deeper than that.
But what does that mean? I mean, like a lot of kids don't even have a dad.
Well, as we decided to do just in this one small area, 100,000 people, Bopilong, outside Vanderbijl Park.
Right.
And as we spoke to all the headmistresses and headmasters, we looked at all the NGOs, and the one common thing was that households were falling apart. And the single biggest issue in those households falling apart was the lack of a present and engaged man. Most of them
women, grandmas.
Grandmothers, sisters, aunties.
But it's all the women who are holding that family together.
Very, very much.
The men are not even there.
Very much so. And you know what's so strange? When I run Real Man, Real Dad seminars, and often there are more women who pitch up than men, which is bizarre. You'd expect only men because it's for men. But so many women come because they just want a solution to this issue.
No, the men are all at Sexpo.
Always studying breasts.
Yeah, well, listen, this is important research. But let's be serious for one second, because we do have a lot to address in this country, and I don't want to turn this into a lecture, because you've got interesting insights, and you're not a negative guy. You're actually very inspiring to listen to. I've seen you present your ideas to people before, and as you say, a lot of women come to these things and not so many men. Mm. Which is part of the problem. Women are interested in nurturing the next generation.
Yeah, it's a natural thing for them.
Men, we seem to just make the kids and then we disappear.
Well, yeah, I like to say that there are a huge number of very good men out there. You know, it's about the whole thing, the silent moral majority.
Yeah.
You know, I think we just need to mobilize good men. You know, I said, I think at one of the launches you had, that unfortunately the idiotic voices are far louder than the voices of reason. And so a lot of men, particularly, you know, men are starting to feel more and more disenfranchised, more and more pushed to the side. No. And ironically, what's happening as we focus on victim empowerment, you know, we talked about rape earlier, you didn't. What we do is, ironically, which is critical, we need to do it, but the real problem is not the victims. The real problem is the perpetrators. So we need to focus on men. How do we fix and restore men?
Exactly. I mean, for some reason, men get away with everything in history. Mm. We've behaved so badly. We've been so stupid. We war against each other. We enslave other nations. We just, and it's all men. That's all men's fault. I didn't see any woman in charge of the development of slavery as a trade. I didn't see any women involved in setting up all kinds of patriarchal religious bodies. Women are not involved. They don't have blood on their hands, so to speak, from history that men do. But we even manage to corner a little place for ourselves as victims some of the time. When the minute a man gets put in his place by a woman, he cries foul, like, oh, but this is feminism gone crazy. You know what I mean? Men, we'll actually stand there and we'll go, now I'm the victim. After all these years of being the oppressor, now we pretend to be the victim. It's nonsense.
I agree, 100%. I mean, men need to stand up and just be what they're supposed to be.
Which is what?
Well, I mean, look, firstly, we need to say that...
What is masculinity?
Well, look, men and women are different, and the difference is beautiful. Different but equal. I mean, sure. It sounds like a cliche.
That's why we're attracted to each other.
Exactly, 100%. I mean, I think the only implication you could give, the only way you could implicate women in wars, et cetera, is that sometimes men... do it for women because they're so inspiring. You know?
That's true.
But 100%. I mean, you look at jails. There are 15 times more men in jail than women. 15 times. Not double, not triple. I mean, it's just insane the differential in terms of how men are screwing up in women. But I think true masculinity is, I mean, Winston Churchill said it very well. He said, a man does what he must. In spite of personal consequences, in spite of dangers, pressures, and troubles, a man just does what he must, which means the first thing that a man needs to do is just take responsibility. Be the man. If he's got a child, he looks after that child. If he makes a commitment, he follows through with the commitment. This is the second thing for me is that a man must stand for something. I think we've got a whole generation of men that just stand for nothing. You know, who are they? You scratch them. What is there? You know. So I think men have this innate desire to fight a battle, but it should be so men need to. I said in a talk I did recently, men need to be men are made to be dangerous.
Dangerous. We're made to be dangerous.
Yeah, okay. But we need to be dangerous too. Never to women, never to children, never to our fellow men.
We're meant to be protecting and serving women.
Well, this is it. We need to be dangerous to we need to be dangerous to whatever threatens them. Dangerous to corruption, dangerous to prejudice, dangerous to abuse, dangerous to whatever it is that threatens
bigotry,
women.
Racism, all that sexism.
Stuff. We as men need to be dangerous to that stuff.
Yeah, because we're designed and we're genetically evolved to protect.
100% right. And we're not doing that.
We're bigger, we're stronger. Our default setting is probably to aggression.
Well, we've got the testosterone, which gives an appetite for danger, for pain. I mean, so we've got physiological.
Then I'm not much of a man. I don't think I've ever been in a fight. I've been once. I was in a fight once at high school. I mean, I've never been in a physical fight with anyone since then.
But that's also not what masculinity. You know, there's such a. I mean, the three things men do as a result, and we can talk about the wounds and what drives them. But the three things we do: we pose. All men pose. You know, we put an image of macho.
Yeah.
And then that comes in various forms. Second thing men do is we fail to use our strength. We just get passive. We withdraw. So, I mean, the whole porn industry and the whole, you know, it's just withdrawing into this virtual world as opposed to dealing with it. And the third thing we do is we misuse our strength. So we fail to use our strength. We misuse our strength and we pose. And if you take that to the nth degree, you know, so you've got men that are just addicted to all kinds of crap. And you've got men that are just posing and macho. And then you've got men, I think you were mentioning earlier, who are just assertive and abusive and just dominating. And, you know, the alpha male arsehole, basically.
Right. Mm. Because that's what we're so quick to climb into each other and to not actually observe the reason, the motivation for our behavior. Now, I've always believed that men and women are motivated by different things. A man is at his best when he feels that he is in charge, that he's survived, that he's made things different, that he is in control of his own destiny, and where he can provide. And for men, power is a big thing.
Very much so.
Whether it's the illusion of power or when it's reality, you know, power in reality. So the minute you have power, you have dominion. You feel strong as a man. You feel like this, my life is good. With women, the motivation is much more security. And often it can be provided by men, but for a lot of women, they provide it for themselves. That's real empowerment. Mm. And those women have managed to make themselves secure, independent, financially independent, emotionally able to deal with things and to secure a future for their own kids or for themselves. That makes women feel very powerful.
Well, I mean, you ask the average man if he were to choose power or love.
Power.
Power.
Every time, right?
You ask the average woman, power, love, she's going to take the love. I mean, women are very much more relational. Women are nurturing. A man would go off on this mad adventure. A woman would want to share an adventure with somebody.
Right.
You know, these are the kind of difference. A man wants to has this innate need for a battle to fight. I mean, average Saturday afternoon, where's a guy? In front of the TV watching his team do battle on the rugby field, the soccer field, the cricket. You know, right. This, you look at the movies that men have made famous. You know, it's Rocky, Rambo, Die Hard 1, 2, 3, 4,
right,
5, 6.
Right, I got you.
You know, the movies that women make famous are Somebody's Diary and, you know, the kind of, you know, there's a difference. You know?
Somebody's Diary. I can see you really care about rom-coms. Jeez.
But, you know, the difference is fantastic and it's beautiful and it creates a dance. You know, if it's good, it creates a dance out of which a fantastically beautiful and balanced world comes. When we throw the thing out, where a man wants power for dominion, then it becomes completely abusive. When a man wants power to protect, when a man takes what's not his, society falls apart. But, you know, you ask what true masculinity, and for me another one is that a man gives more than he takes. He's there to use his strength to give and to serve and to protect and to love. He's never someone who's there to on the take always. There are so many men are net takers.
Yeah.
And that's rape as well, you know. So rape for me, I mean, it's just utterly sick, as we know, but it looks at those three things.
But it's all down to power. A lot of people seem to confuse any kind of male domination as a sexual thing when it comes to rape. But actually, it's a power thing.
It's a sense of deep inadequacy, and I need to impose myself.
A secure guy will never do that to a woman.
A secure guy can take no, and he understands no is no, and it doesn't affect his ego. Whereas a very inadequate, insecure guy can't take no.
Let me tell you something. I would stop at any point. To me, there is no point and no return in sex. If a woman at any point during the entire process, from the first date to when we're actually in bed with each other and I'm doing it and she says no, it stops.
100%.
Straight away, I'm like, okay, I'm out of here.
But you see, men...
There's no point and no return. You never go, oh, well, we're too far down the road now. I'm not going to stop. You must take that as an instruction.
I'll tell you a very scary story. I was talking to a group of educators, and I won't say when and where, but I was talking about this kind of stuff, and I was really quite strong on the whole, because, you know, we had these sexual abuse cases in schools. Jeez. And the one educator put his hand up at the end, and he says, Craig, but what do we say how do we answer when the penis talks?
What does that mean? Like when you can't decide for yourself?
No, when you're... You know, I don't know. What he's saying, you know, when the penis talks, you know, what do we do? And it's almost like you're a slave to this.
No.
You say you can say no to any. Of course you can say no. Because, I mean, we are in charge of our own bodies.
Sure.
We can say no at any point. There's no point at which we have to say, you know, I'm a slave to this idiot and now I'm going to do something stupid.
But again, there we pretend somehow to be the victim. We're like, oh, I'm a victim to my own urges.
Well,
stupid.
That's the same kind of person that just has 12 beers and says, well, I had to drive afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, you can make anything an excuse if you're that low in life.
Yeah, or suing McDonald's because I'm fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you have no personal... Listen, break this, all the walls down. Let's stop talking nonsense. What it comes down to is accountability and responsibility. If you're going to try and blame someone else or you're not going to take that responsibility yourself, you're a loser. And everything will be an excuse.
You've lost your right to call yourself a man. You know, someone once said that true masculinity is in overcoming, but not overcoming the other man, not overcoming the woman, overcoming yourself. You know, being in charge of your own self, making your own decisions.
Well, look at these two women who are coming in just now. Jessie Jane, the porn star, and Bonnie Rotten, the porn star. Now, these women have taken control of their own destinies. But they might not have had the most terrific male role. We don't know. I'm going to ask them. But yeah. I mean, do you think that we're also really quick to judge, and men especially, in any situation where we can get one up on each other as guys, or where we can get one up on a woman, we take it. Any opportunity. It's this ridiculous idea of a pecking order. And we're hugely competitive, and there's always a hierarchy with men, right?
But again, that's a good and a bad thing. I mean, the innate drivers of men, this need for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to pursue, I mean, those things are absolutely beautiful things. When they go wrong, they go seriously wrong. So the problem with most men is we arrive at adulthood with a sense of inadequacy, with a sense of I don't really have what it takes to be a man. So we spend the rest of our lives either accepting that I'm useless and then I'm withdrawn to all kinds of illicit stuff, or attempting to validate myself.
Well,
and we attempt to validate by getting one up on other people.
I'll be honest about this. I wasn't the captain of the rugby team. I wasn't much of a physical specimen at school when you're trying to figure yourself out. And I wanted to, but I never had the hottest girlfriend in the world. And I kind of felt like a bit of a loser. for a lot of the time. But then instead of getting miserable about it, I thought I've got to find ways to make myself good at something, to be the best at something, to feel like, you know, I could at least be a real man here. Mm. And some of the time, I think a lot of guys are like that. They just don't admit it, and they don't want to deal with it. Mm. Look, these guys are just so wrapped up in being the alpha guy that they actually miss out on the opportunity to figure themselves out.
And develop in other ways.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't think a single man arrives at adulthood.
I call it big dick syndrome.
Yeah.
Where everything comes down to that.
Like,
who's the biggest dick in the room?
Yeah. But you see, the guys that have been validated and they have a sense of personal validity just for who they are, and that's the role that a father plays in a huge way, don't have that need to do that. You know, who they are is who they are. And they're validated and they're good. And the most important man in their life, their dad, their role model, has said to them from day dot, you are great as you are, who you are. You may not be a rugby player. You may not be the jock, but who you are is fantastic. Then the guy doesn't need this kind of illicit sense of validation. He knows who he is.
Yeah. What do you think we can do to improve the situation for someone who doesn't even have a dad, though? I mean, how do they – because those formative years are so important. If you don't have that example set when you're like 4, 5, 6 years old, it's never going to work. Aren't they just screwed? Don't they have so much more work ahead of them?
They do. And I think this is where we need to get just men generally. You know, the whole old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, it doesn't have to be a biological father. If they're male role models that are like even a coach, a teacher, and this is the problem. There's very few male teachers in schools.
Oh.
But coaches, teachers, uncles, grandfathers, you know, men can play a fantastic role in kids who don't have an active and engaged father just by being the bull elephant in the situation that can lead and guide and mentor.
So the book's doing well, huh?
Yeah, look, it could always do better. I mean, it is doing well. Thank you. Yes, it is. It's in major bookstores and selling well.
And you've got two kids of your own. How are they doing?
They're doing fantastic.
Yeah, son and a daughter.
Yeah, Luke turns 21 next week.
Gee,
in fact.
Look at that, huh?
And Blythe's in matric. She's
21.
18.
You've got him all the way to that.
Yeah,
you must feel pretty proud of
him. I am proud. And he's turning into
a good kid.
He's a great kid. He really is. Yeah.
It would be terrible if he was a bad kid and you've written this book about being a dad.
Yeah. Well, the book started with a letter from him. You know, he wrote me a letter when he was 18 saying, "Dear Dad, thank you." You know, and it was one of those tear-jerking letters. And that actually inspired the book.
Sure.
It's an amazing letter. He's an amazing kid.
And your daughter? What is it about like dads and their daughters? There's something very special there about.
Oh, it's like, awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
A daughter always, if her dad is a good guy and she loves him and he loves her and he looks after her and he makes sure that he raises her properly and gives her everything she needs, she will know what to look for in a husband.
Absolutely. She won't take crap. She won't settle for second best because you as a father have adored her, loved her, shown her that she's worth fighting for. So she's going to not settle for anyone who's not, you know, so many ladies and girls now are doing the pursuing, aren't they, in relationship?
And that's fine.
There are not too many guys who complain. But actually, a woman doesn't want that. She wants to be pursued. So, yeah, I mean, having a daughter is much more scary than having a son.
Mm.
Someone said, with a son, you've only got one penis to worry about. With a daughter, you've got
the whole world.
Every other penis.
Exactly, So, I mean, it's challenging. But it's awesome. It's fantastic.
Oh, man. Well, listen, well done on this. And Father in Nation is terrific. If people want to find out more, they want to join you, they want to come to one of the seminars, because I can pretty much say without any fear of contradiction, this is something that we need to talk about more than we even know. And a lot of people get it, and they want to start talking about it. Where can they get hold of you?
Well, there are two. The Father in Nation has a website, fatherinnation.co.za, one word. And then just for myself, I do the seminars, just craigwilkinson.co.za.
Very good.
That's them. But we need to raise a standard, Gareth, in South Africa about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a dad. You know, so it's just not cool to do the stuff that men shouldn't do. You know, people sitting in a pub and someone says, "Oh, I smacked my wife." He should be lynched. You know what
I mean?
Exactly. We should have a culture that says that is not good. This is what a man is.
Yeah, I agree with you. But let's not lynch anybody, because then that would be going in the wrong direction too, wouldn't it?
Indeed. I meant that.
I know what you meant. You're a good guy. Thank you, Craig. He's a real example of what – I mean, like if I had to be a dad and I were anything less than Craig, I'd feel like a failure.
Thank you, guys.
No, you're terrific. I mean, your kids love you. You're able to share this. They say that there's like a pyramid. There's a hierarchy. You first have to get your own stuff together.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, you start to spread the love and you start to be able to help other people to do it because you've got an abundance of it for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think you're at that point too. That's why you like doing what you're doing. And it feels good to change other people's lives for the better.
It does.
Thank you, man. Lovely to see you. Craig Wilkinson, Father a Nation is the NPO. You can find out more about them by going to fatheranation.co.za. And you can also get his book, Dad. It's pretty much the handbook. And for a lot of men in this country, you've got to find something to be your handbook because God knows it's not easy. And it is tough. And listen, men, we haven't always had the ability to figure this stuff out because we don't like to think about ourselves. Sometimes men are so busy trying to provide, trying to secure, and trying to fight for their space that they actually don't pay attention to the family, the basics. So don't blame yourself if you're feeling a little vulnerable and you're a guy. You're allowed to. And being sensitive is actually more masculine than being a big gung-ho Rambo.
Absolutely.
Right.
And then, you know, we were talking about Simpsons earlier. I mean, Homer Simpson is one of the kind of role models, one of the kind of males that's out there. I mean, that's an utter disaster, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I think there are a lot of dads who are just like Homer Simpson. And
unfortunately. Unfortunately.
And that's why he's so popular.
How
thank you, Craig.
Yeah, fantastic.
Craig Wilkinson. Drunk with it. All right. Thank you very much. That was DNF. Featuring Drake and Future, P. Rain. You like that, Mubs? You don't like Drake?
Oh, please.
What happened?
I have never liked Drake.
You used to be such a fan, don't lie.
I don't like Drake. I don't like that whole Young Money crew.
All right. Calm down. Very aggressive. Sure. You're so strident, Mubs.
Yes, well, so what?
You're a tough cookie. All right. We've got a very busy morning today. Someone wants to know the name of Craig's book again. The guy we were just talking to, Craig's book is called Dad. It's three letters, D, and then an A, and then a D. I know it's difficult. You might have to write this down. Dad. Got it? There we go, Lizette. No problem. Sivan says, hey, I don't know if South Africa has no real men. I just think most women couldn't spot a real man if their life depended on it. Ironically, some of the time it does. I mean, yeah, you just look at Oscar Pistorius and all that stuff. You figure out what's wrong with men in this country. Because it is a problem. Big dick syndrome again. Even Dr. D called it that. Remember?
She did.
She did. That's what she called it. All right. We've got some sport to look at. Speaking of manly things.
Such a big weekend. Wow.
Tell us about it.
Wow.
I mean, obviously.
Wow.
Obviously, there's Bonnie Rutten and Jessie Jane from Sexpo. But what else is there this weekend?
Gareth, it is the Ryder Cup weekend.
Oh, this is golf, right?
Yeah, it's basically all four majors rolled into one. It is the biggest golfing event you could see. Happens every 2 years. Hmm. So it gets played in America, and then 2 years later it gets played in Europe. The Europeans have really been the dominant force in the last few times round, and look for it to happen again. There is a chance that come Sunday, basically what happens is they play foursomes and they play four balls. Over the Friday and Saturday, you'll see foursomes and four ball matches.
Yeah.
So what happens there is that they play alternate balls in the foursomes.
Right.
And then the four balls, the best score counts between the pairs. So these two teams get pitted against each other over that.
Why do golfers play in foursomes? I've never asked this question.
It's a good number.
No, but explain that to me. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, it'll take too long if it was five, and it wouldn't be social enough if it was three.
Okay, so you have to get three of your friends and do it.
Yeah.
So it's purely that. There's no science behind this.
Gareth, I don't know what the science is behind it. I don't think you should ever delve into the science behind it. Just right.
Just accept, Gareth.
Hold on. No, I want to know more.
He's trying to bend the numbers here.
No, I'm actually trying to figure this thing out because I've never played golf. Okay. When you put together a foursome, are you often the one who is the architect of this foursome, so you decide who the other three are going to be, or are you sometimes just picked by other people?
No, it's like having a dinner party. You choose your friends.
Okay, and then how do you choose them? On what basis? Do they have to be good golfers?
Depends who you want to spend your leisure time with.
So it's really just good company?
Completely.
Got nothing to do with their ability. What if you play with people who are just terribly, terribly bad?
Well, I don't, because I haven't got the patience for it, but some people do around the world. And also, when you have a four ball, you can play in teams of two, as shown here in the Ryder Cup.
Okay.
Okay, so once we've got over that fundamental, and then Sunday you get the singles, right? So now the captains draw player for player. So say Mabali's captain of Europe, and she says...
What if you have someone in your foursome who is really, really good at golf, but they're a terrible person?
Well, that's like
Oscar Pistorius.
That's like saying Imagine inviting someone around who loves food a lot, but I hate him for a dinner party.
I would never invite people based on their love of food. See, so this is not a good example.
No,
I'm just curious about how you put this together. Like, I'm interested in social situations, so I understand that you want to be with good company. I'm not making light of this. I'm genuinely interested. So if I invite people to play in my foursome, but they are really, really dull people, they happen to play an excellent game of golf, won't I get more satisfaction out of winning than being with, you know, the most exciting people in the world for 4 hours?
I don't know. 5 hours with a douchebag is not exactly what anybody wants in life.
And so what if you win?
Gareth, I suppose it all depends. Like, if you don't have, don't really have friends or
I like to win.
Yes, you do. You really do.
Speaking of which, about a week to go in our six-pack challenge.
I'm not going to win that.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
Trying very hard to get into this Ryder Cup. So then Sunday is the singles. Okay, this is the most exciting thing because it's match play. Now, don't know what match play is. They don't keep scorecards. So it makes for very attacking golf because they're constantly firing at the pin. They're trying to win. So every hole, there's something at stake. So even if the guy's having a bit of a shite day, he can still come back and win three holes. Anything can happen. So it is bloody exciting. That will start from tomorrow.
All right.
I'll give you a lot more information on it tomorrow, but basically, Ryder Cup weekend, everything else is secondary.
Who would you put on your four ball out of all the people here at cliffcentral.com? Would you have Trevor Gumby and Casper De Vries because they're entertaining? Or would you have...
You've got to have Simba the one.
Simba, he'd probably be quite good on that.
I would have Simba because yesterday he made a phone call and got two cases of beer within 5 minutes.
Yeah, you see.
That's like a superpower in many circles. So out of Simba, definitely.
Also, he's fun to hang out with.
Who else? You have to put together a four ball.
Cheap as this.
Come on.
From there, just, I don't know.
What, you're not going to have Michael?
No, I don't think Michael would want to do it. Gareth, I wouldn't have you. You'd be painful on a golf course.
What would be the most annoying thing about me on the golf course? My lack of focus and attention?
I think
I'd get bored.
I think every 5 minutes hearing you say, this is rubbish. Or, this is a stupid game.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes would probably be the big thing.
And the only reason I'd say that, I can do a little self-introspection here. The only reason I'd say it was rubbish the whole time is because probably I wouldn't be good at it. If I were amazing at golf, I'd love it.
Ben, what about Professor Block or Gary from the Laws of Life?
Well, Professor Block would keep looking up, but in golf, you can only do it for so long. Eventually, you need to look down where the hole is.
I'm just trying to help you out.
How about... Toby Shapshack would be fun.
No, he would be just like you. He would be going, oh, this is rubbish. And then he would go off on a tangent about how golf was invented by aliens.
How about Jonty from The Sex Show?
I don't think Jonty would leave the clubhouse. Jonty would find someone and go,
okay, Ben, you're being difficult.
I'm not being difficult.
How about Damon Calvary?
Can you imagine that walking? Can you imagine that car crash of a human being walking?
How about, you know who would be good is O'Neill. First of all, he looks like Usain Bolt. So people would think you were playing a game of golf with Usain Bolt. And second of all, he looks like a guy who's focused. He can get things done.
Okay, so far I've got Simba and O'Neill.
Okay, so it's
you need one more person.
You and two big black guys. This is looking good so far.
Yeah, there's no one else I can think of.
Jeffrey? What about Jeffrey? He comes in early in the mornings.
Yeah, actually, I'd pick Jeffrey.
There you go.
Jeffrey, I think, all round.
That's Ben's foursome.
That's my Cliff Central four ball right there. Okay, so we were trying to get into other sport now. So Ryder Cup, that's the primary. That's the big one. But we also got the Springboks playing. They're playing the Aussies. Now, that'll be at 5 o'clock. They're playing in Newlands. So you'll see a shadow across the field, and that is the mountain. If you didn't know. And it's probably the most Instagrammed game of the weekend. And we're looking to beat the Aussies by, say, 15 points here, my buddy. And there's various reasons for it. Let's not dwell too much on it, though. We're just better than them. We didn't, unfortunately, produce such a thing as a win when we went down under. We completely cocked that game up. We don't need to allude back to that. And then the Argentinians, they're hosting the All Blacks. And that's at 10 past midnight on Sunday morning.
Oh, well, that's a good time.
They are without Aaron Cruden, who was drunk when the team left. So they left him behind. He now misses this game and next game at Ellis Park against the Springboks.
He was drunk. What? He went to a pub the night before.
Yeah, it's a common New Zealand sports star problem. You get these really talented guys, and often they just become drunk. and then they've fallen away, which now means that Beauden Barrett's got the inside track to be the World Cup fly half. Now, Beauden Barrett's very good. New Zealand got two very, very good fly halves. They both kind of looked like they're on a quest to deposit a ring somewhere. But past that, they dynamic players.
In other words, they're hobbits.
They look like hobbits, yes. They look like Frodo, especially Cruden. Cruden's actually prime Frodo. So now, New Zealand, this is the problem with when you play against these guys. You take away one good player, another one comes in. And Beauden Barrett, in many circles, is a very, very gifted fly half, or as they call it for some strange reason, the first 5/8. So don't look for any sort of change in the All Black team there. They will win, but the Aussies will be spirited and definitely put up some sort of a fight.
I find it pretty funny that the New Zealand sports stars are often drunk.
Well, Gareth, you know where they live. They live on the furthest outpost on Earth. Their women are hideous. What else do you do? There's not a lot else to do. You get a chance to have a couple of coolies with the boys, you'll do it. And he just forgot he had a flight to catch. Anyway, he's not here. Curry Cup action will play second fiddle, sadly. But, hey, big games all the same. On Friday, the Western Province, table-topping Western Province, have to go play the Pumas.
Oh.
Now, that's quite a tough fixture because the Pumas are like the working class heroes of the Curry Cup, and they also play in a stadium with no people. So, if you're having a bad game, you can hear the doubts in your mind. That's at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and the Cheetahs, they host the Blue Bulls, who are kind of out of the playoffs right now, so who knows what they can do. That's 10 past 7. Saturday, before that Bok game, which is taking place at 5 o'clock, you've got the Sharks, they host Eastern Province,
right.
Who are bottom of the log. That's at 2 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock, Griquas, they host the Lions on that car park of a field of theirs, Vildeklava Stadium, whatever they call it. In football, lots of football to look forward to, my buddy, and opening the weekend's fixtures in the EPL,
this
as you like to call
it. This might
be
the most entertaining sports report I've ever heard in my life.
Well, Gareth, sport is entertainment. I've been telling this for years. Liverpool.
I'm enjoying this.
Play Everton in the big Merseyside derby. That's at 1/4 to 2. Liverpool, of course, losing last week to West Ham, which is very embarrassing for them. Chelsea, they take on Aston Villa.
Because it's named after a slice of pork from the West.
Exactly.
West Ham.
Dreadful. Chelsea, Aston Villa, that's at Stamford Bridge at 4 o'clock, Gareth. Manchester United, they play the West Ham. That's at Old Trafford. Mm-hmm. Manchester United, of course, got completely drilled last week by Leicester 5-3 after leading 3-1.
Oh.
So very interesting to see what happens there. Southampton, they play Leanne's team of Queen's Park Rangers. That's at 4 o'clock. Sunderland, Swansea City after that. Crystal Palace, Leicester City after that. Hull, Man City, Damon, that's at 4. And then Arsenal take on the Spurs. That's the big London derby, one which Spurs have kind of sucked the hind teat on over the years. And if you do like Twitter, then the big Piers Morgan versus Sir Alan Sugar, that's always a big fight around that game. Sunday we got West Brom versus Burnley. Nobody really cares about that one. And then finishing off my belly on the Monday, Stoke City versus Newcastle United.
There we go. Oh,
what a big deal that is.
Ben, just a quick question, and forgive me if you've covered this. One of my brother-in-laws, the one with the teeth, and he does wear underwear, he was telling me he was very, very excited. There was some game in the British Premier League where the score was 14-13 on penalties, and it was like the most amazing game ever. Did we talk about that?
Damon,
that
was
an old story already.
That wasn't the Premier League. That was the League One Cup, which is essentially less than the FA Cup, so nobody really cares. So
why is my brother... What's wrong with my brother-in-law? Why is he so excited?
Well, hang on. Let me finish the story. You sound also very excited for no reason here. 14-13, that was a score on penalties. The game finished 2-2 after extra time, and Liverpool beat Middlesbrough 14-13 in penalties. So you can be excited if you like penalties.
Involved.
Yeah. So Liverpool aren't having a great time right now.
Why is Liverpool in such a low league?
Well, it's the League One Cup, so it's like everyone has a go at it. It used to be called something else.
Okay, that will go down. I was really enjoying the sport until Damon's question, so thank you.
Oh, thanks, Damon.
Very nice. Right. Very good. You done there yet?
Just local football, and then we can move on.
Right.
There was a break last week because the MTN 8 Cup, which the Kaizer Chiefs won. Chiefs, of course, are the huge front runners right now, but let's go through the fixtures quickly for the rest. Friday night at 8 o'clock, Bidvest Wits take on the AmaZulu. And then Saturday, we've got Free State Stars, Morocco Swallows. That's at 3 o'clock. Black Aces, IX Cape Town. That's IX Cape Town's chance to kind of try to stick with the Chiefs, which will be essentially their role the whole season. I don't think they'll do it. That's the 3 o'clock. Chipper United, Orlando Pirates, Kaizer Chiefs. We've been mentioning them all week, last week, and weeks before as the best team. They take on Maritzburg United at 8:15. Supersport United play Bloem Celtic. after that. And then Sunday, we've got Platinum Stars, University of Pretoria. That's at 3 o'clock. And Polokwane City play Mamelodi Sundowns in the last game of the weekend, and that's at 3 o'clock as well. That's pretty much it. As I said earlier, Ryder Cup, and we'll get more into that tomorrow.
If you're suffering from FOMO with a nasty old handset and your friends are all using an iPhone, don't be sad. The iStore is the only place that you ever need to go to hook up with the sexiest Apple products, including the latest iPhone. It doesn't matter whether you're upgrading your current contract or getting your first iPhone. They can help you figure it out. They'll set you up on any of the major networks, any of them. They'll also give you free training, give you free technical advice, and help you upgrade your iPhone to the latest iOS 8 for free. iStore. Absolutely everything Apple. T's and C's apply. Damon's going to go over there soon and get his new iPhone because he's using my old one with a cracked screen.
In December.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm due for an upgrade in December. Very excited.
Well, maybe you can get the new iPhone 6, Damon.
No, that's what I'm going to get. What's the point?
Are you going to go for the plus or the normal size?
No, normal size. I don't like plus.
I'm also going for the normal size.
Yeah, man. You want things small.
I don't want a phablet.
Yeah.
I want a phone.
No, but I'm sure the plus is much better than a phablet, but you still want to go for a normal phone.
They've got it all specially worked out so that it accommodates things of different sizes.
And there's different colors, hey? What are the colors? That's a decision.
Yeah, that's also true. You've got to choose your color.
But you know what often happens?
What?
They'll say to you, I've only got that color, so you just take that color.
But I'm sure
you're going to wait a week for your color? I don't think so.
But I'm pretty sure that the iStore will have all the colors. I mean,
But you get these people that will wake up at 4 in the morning or they'll sleep overnight outside the iStore and they'll grab your color.
That's true.
I can just imagine Damon arriving and they're going, sorry, sir, we've only got periwinkle blue. And he's like, okay.
But you know, they don't always ship in all the colors to a country like ours.
No, the iStore will.
Okay.
All right. Here are a couple of messages before we get to our guests, who are Jesse Jane and Bonnie Rotten. I'm very excited to speak to these ladies. We'll speak to them in a second. Here is a perfect Cliff Central four ball, Ben, from Kay. Says you, Kaunda, Michael, and Damon as a caddy.
Of course, Kaunda. Oh. You'd be great. I forgot
Kaunda
about those
would be
guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, the guys from the Not 9 o'clock Sport.
Kaunda would be great because he's a massive Manchester United fan.
And that's good. Why?
Well, it's just funny because he's such a passionate sporting individual. Yeah. You can get him going quite quickly.
Yeah, he had a great week. He was supporting Man U, and then he brought up that Kaizer Chiefs had won so he could feel better about something.
He arrived on Monday with his Kaizer Chiefs shirt.
All right, so there's your four ball from Kay. And then Mornay says, Gareth's right. Golf is rubbish. It spoils what otherwise would be a nice 6-kilometer walk. And Xavier wants to know, which Simba are you talking about, Ben? Black Simba or white black Simba from Casper's show?
The one.
I'll be referring to the one.
The black one.
Simba the one.
Okay. Sivan says, 5 hours on a golf course with 3 douchebags, even if you win, you'll lose. And Brian wants to know if Ass has been fired. No, she hasn't. She's on a sexy romantic getaway in the Seychelles.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Ass is busy having the time of her life under the palm trees of the Seychelles, partying up a storm. No doubt she's drunk at least 3/4 of the time. And when she gets back, she will reveal all, because there's been a lot of mystery around Ass. Josh says, thanks, Ben, for letting me know what I won't be doing this weekend at golf. And listening all the way from Windhoek is Bernie, who says, Windhoek in Namibia, just want to say, you guys are doing great. I love how I can stream your show at no cost via BIS. You see, people are figuring it out.
But can I just add something?
Yeah.
I think Ben has left something out. Ben confided in me yesterday how excited he is about the Ryder Cup. He says it's like all 4 majors in 1 tournament. He is so excited.
What's that?
I think he's downplayed it this morning.
What did I leave out, Dame? Under the part where I said twice, I'll be giving you more info about this tomorrow, as in I'll be talking about this in depth tomorrow.
The whole analogy that it's all 4 majors in 1 tournament, I think that's an important thing to point out, to illustrate the excitement.
But he's done that before.
Was that not my first line?
What was your first line?
You don't listen.
Yeah.
My first line was the Ryder Cup. It's like all 4 majors rolled into one. It's the greatest golfing event.
Did you say that?
Yes, he did.
Every 2 years.
It's enough. We're not talking to you anymore. Thank
Sorry.
You. Go make sure our guests are happy and comfortable.
No, I already said hello to them.
Good. Thank you.
Jesus.
Hey, Gareth and team. Just thought I'd share this with you. My girlfriend of 4 years cheated on me. The worst part is the guy that she's cheating with called me and said, let's talk man to man, and asked what I'd what do I want with his girlfriend? He asked what is happening between us and that I should stop calling her. This is because I was calling her the entire day yesterday and she didn't pick up. So he was with this girl. Now this guy's turning the tables on him, saying, it's my girlfriend.
Oh, dear.
He's been with her for 4 years. Oh, man. And then Carla Finavestazen says, apparently Darren Whackhead Simpson said your show only has 300 listeners, according to some internet source. Maybe you should punk him. Can I just say, fuck you, Darren Simpson.
But why does he care?
You're still doing prank calls like it's 1983, and you're going to tell me, dude, we just had in the month of August and September alone over 1 million podcast downloads. I'm not even going to compete with you in your swinging dick competition.
Why is he so worried?
You were a replacement. You've never been a radio guy. You're not a broadcaster's backside. You're a baboon. And you're going to tell me how radio works?
Oh, dear.
Primate.
Oh, dear. Who's
Planet that? Of the Apes over there. This guy's got this is our sounds, for God's sake. This is our talks. And he's going to tell me about radio. The hell.
Do you want me to go speak to him?
What are you going to say?
Go and drive him mad.
I'll drive. After 5 minutes, you'll wish he never, ever mentioned
I was doing so well. I mean,
I'll annoy him so much.
I haven't been using foul language all week. You know that?
Well.
This is the first thing. I have to hear this. Oh, man, I hate that. This radio industry is full of such losers. A bunch of yes monkeys waiting for management to tell them what clock to implement on their stupid show. Why don't you play more hits from the 90s or whatever it is that you do for a living, you retard? Tell me how to do a radio show. Tell me how many listeners you have. The only reason you have any listeners at all is because you took that show over from Mansfield, who was a real broadcaster. And if he hadn't been there before you and you had to start off like I did from nothing, you wouldn't have a single listener. I know animals in the zoo that have more talent than you. Give me this. Who the hell do you think you are? Why don't you go out on your own and try and launch a brand new channel? Let's see how well you do. How many people follow you? Let's see how many people care about your stupid show when you stop doing those childish prank calls from 1983.
I'm gonna catch you out on the fun. So funny, you're so clever.
Mind of a 15-year-old. Jesus. Listen to this. This got me all wound up.
I know. Woosa. Woosa.
He must even. You mention my name, you get better ratings on your stupid show than when you're doing your normal programming. The only way anyone will pay attention to you is if you talk about me. Who the hell do you think you are? I don't have beef with you, but now I've got beef with you. Well done. You've started a war.
Maybe you need to, like, bring in the porn stars to help you relax.
Mm. Oh, I need some porn stars in my life. Oh, I really need some porn stars in my life. My life is horrible at the moment without porn stars. I see Jessie Jane. Let me tell you something, Jessie Jane. Before you even come in here, I have watched you in that Pirates movie so many times. I have played with myself until I cannot tell you how many times I watched you in that movie. I love your work. I am such a fan. I feel like I've grown up with you. Beautiful woman. See, now I'm feeling better already. Let's meet the stars of various well-known adult films. These women are superstars in the industry. So good are they. They have their own range of sex toys. Now, you know you've made it in the porn business when you've actually got a sex toy. Because they don't just make those for everybody, Mubs.
No.
Let's go to the porn stars next. That's coming up.